Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, somebody mad, yes. We exalt you, Jesus. Magnify you and glorify you. Begin to release your glory in this house now. Bring fascination, Lord, to who you are and what you've called us to be in you. Jesus, right now, we praise you and give you all the glory. You stand as Lord and High Priest over this house. We thank you from the very beginning that you are seated high above all principality, power, ruler, and might. We praise you, Father, as we begin to release your glory into this house and who you are and what you are. We thank you, Father, that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it is by your Spirit. So, Father, even now, begin to bring that fascination where every heart, all our hearts, are single. They become single to you. They become fastened on you. Nothing else but you. Father, in the name of Jesus, let everything else be dismissed right now. Let everything fall at the feet of Jesus. Lord, let everything fall at His dominion, at His feet. Lord, right now we release the power of your grace over this house. We thank you that, Lord, it is you that comes. Raise up the intercessors, Lord. Raise up those who call upon you now and understand. Those who have come to understanding. Lord, I thank you and praise you. Those who have become awakened, we praise you, Father. That, Lord, no longer we sleep, but, Lord, we go forward, awaken unto Christ. We see and we understand, Lord. We have not been put to sleep by the flesh, but, Lord, we thank you that we see and understand. We release your grace into this house in full measure in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Don't stop doing what you're doing if you're worshiping. If you're not worshiping, then start. Listen. We pour our love on you. I want to describe to you what you're doing so you can do it better. So you can do it more. He says in the book of Revelation, the first chapter, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. Hallelujah. Now, he wasn't describing something about himself, that he had a beginning and that he is one day going to end. He's letting us know that when we come into contact with him, he is our beginning and he is our ending. Hallelujah. He is our beginning and he is our ending. Did you hear me? Come on and preach with me today. He is our beginning and He is our ending. Hallelujah. Well, Earl, I just want to make it through today and then tomorrow I hope we can do better. Praise God. Sometimes. But you realize we're a church that's waking up.
Amen.
And you get to a point where this life really doesn't matter in a good sense. Because there's about to be a new age that's going to be birthed. Do you realize we're headed to the millennial age of Christ? Do you realize how much money you make and what you're doing and where you're headed really is not going to matter too much longer because we're headed someplace? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He is the beginning and He is the ending. And here's where you get to pour your... I love that song Matt was playing. I loved them all. But the one, the fascination... And I caught something this morning. I've heard that song so many times. I asked Kenny, I said, is this saying the image of the end? You're the end? I just heard that He is the end. He's the end.
Hallelujah.
He's the end.
Yeah. Thank you,
oh, come on. I said He is the end. When Amber was a baby, she used to ask me questions. Well, what about... And I said, well, we're going to do this, darling. Well, then what are we going to do? I'd say, okay, then we're going to do this. And then what are we going to do? I said, okay, we're going to do this today. Then what are we going to do? Finally, I'd have to say, I'm going to whip you if you don't stop. But He won't whip us. He wants you to say, and then what? Okay, we're here, but then what? What are we living our life for? Then what? What's happening after this?
There's an age that's coming. He wants us to receive an outpouring. Hallelujah! Listen. The churches and the movements that are hearing the bridegroom, they're not building golf courses, retirement communities. They're getting people ready to be young again. They're getting people ready to be harvesters in the earth. And I pour my love out on him. That's your choice. At least when he came and got you at salvation, that was a big part of somebody praying for you and God coming after you. But afterwards, somebody says, well, God's just going to come and get me and make me closer. He won't. That's up to you.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. I said, that's up to you.
Yes, that's right.
Listen. Now, is this door locked? This is theatrics. Can everybody see me? Sit down, Alex. This is the Song of Solomon. Teach you a little bit of history. Teach you private worship. In antiquity, in the Middle East, this is the whole bridegroom thing. We're the bride. Everybody say, I'm the bride.
I'm the bride.
Men say, I'm a bride. Hairy legs and all. Hallelujah. You must pour your love on him. At some point in that ushy-gushy, beautiful song of Solomon, this is what's happened. Now, I'm up here. Everybody, listen. No texting. I'm up here. I'm over here. Listen. Because if you miss this, he just took the whole service from you. I mean, we can just leave if you miss this part. If somebody's talking to you right now, ask them to please listen to me. Please listen to me. Because I got something to say. In the Song of Solomon, excuse me, this is rude, but I got to leave for just a moment and I'll talk to you. The bridegroom, which is Jesus, is standing on the outside of the bridal chamber. Now, in antiquity, it was a private room, but they did have a place. It was semi-private. Because if the door was locked, a hand could be squeezed through the keyhole big enough to reach in and unlock the door. Jesus was standing, Solomon. The Shulamite woman was inside. She was waiting. The door was locked. He squeezed his hand in, and the Bible says in the Song of Solomon, she saw his hand. Some interpretations say he squeezed his hand through the lattice. When she saw it, her heart fainted. She was so in love. I want him. She thought that he was going to unlock the door and come on in, but guess what he did? He withdrew his hand and left. Why did he do that? She did the right thing. She got up off the bed and pursued him all through the city. Everybody that she found, she said, have you seen my lover? Have you seen him? I'm chasing my lover. Listen. If you see God's arm, if you feel His presence, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to you to say, I'm gonna back up a little bit. If you come to me like a baby saying, I want more, you can have more. Amen. If you feel His presence and say, oh, wow, good service. If something inside of you says, oh, God. He wouldn't come in because some people say, well, I'm going to wait till God comes. God's not going to come after you. Amen. God's not going to come after you. You'll live your whole life stale, fruitless, sick, diseased, mentally tormented. When He does this, it's an invitation. Is this hand handsome? Because if you want all the way up the arm to the face, pursue me.
Yes. Hallelujah. Amen.
Pursue me.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And when you do that, everything in your life begins to wake up.
Amen.
And you begin to say, wait a minute. I'm not living today for today. There's a millennial that's coming.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We're going to rule and reign with Christ.
Yes.
And guess what? In between now and then, we get to see thousands and thousands born again.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank
you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Let's just worship.
Yes, hallelujah, Jesus.
Would you just magnify Him?
Thank you, Lord.
Would you just glorify Him? Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, take control.
Lord,
take control. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We want you.
We're running after Jesus.
We're here for you, Lord. We come, Lord. We come into your presence with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. We've come for you, Lord. We come to you, Lord. We open the door for
you,
Jesus.
For this intimacy.
You're the one that we love, Lord. We want you, Jesus. We want you. We want you, Lord.
Thank you that you're here.
We want you like no other, Lord.
You never leave us.
Glory and honor, praise, Lord. We bring it to you.
Hallelujah.
We lavish our love on you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We lavish our love on you.
You live inside.
We worship you. We worship you.
We love you.
We love you so very much, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you so much, Jesus.
Would you just magnify that name which is above every name? Just right out of your own priesthood. Just your own words. Just begin to speak that name, Jesus. Just begin to speak that name, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. I resist in the name of Jesus. I resist in Jesus' name. I resist in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We magnify you and glorify you, Jesus. We magnify you and glorify you, Jesus. We magnify you and glorify you, Jesus. We magnify and glorify your name, Jesus. We exalt your name. Your name is above every name. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. We magnify you. We speak that name, Jesus, now. In the name of Jesus, we magnify. Go ahead and glorify that name of Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify you. We give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You're worthy. Go ahead out of your own priesthood. Just continue to magnify Him, glorify Him. He is worthy to receive all praise. We glorify you, Jesus. 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 We have Barokarasad. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify you.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
We give you all praise. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. Worship you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Oh, we magnify you. 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 We magnify you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. We magnify you. We glorify you, Jesus. We exalt you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, sir. Mansa karati arroso. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. You can just continue to worship Him. You may be seated. Ladies, thank you. You can rest. You can do whatever. You can sit up there, stand. Just continue to magnify Him a little bit more. We magnify you, Jesus. Manda karoso la barediri aso. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify you. Hallelujah. I glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we magnify you. Thank you for that presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for that presence, Jesus. Thank you for that presence, Jesus. We glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Magnify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. Jesus. Ando carese. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the intercessors raise up. Just pray in the Spirit. Worship in the Spirit. Release your glory, Jesus. Supernatural services. Father, we just thank you, Jesus. The blind see and the lame walk. Hallelujah, Jesus. We cast off every covering. We shake it off in the name of Jesus. We bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We worship and glorify you, Jesus. Mondo kerese de bikraso, hala Christe hidibiaso. Yes, Jesus. Understand this, that I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I have given you the scepter of my son, the firstborn, to rule and to reign. Therefore I say unto you, rise up in diligence, saith the Spirit of grace. Speak a word against your enemy, and worship me in spirit and in truth, for those things which I have already provided, saith the Spirit of grace. Makoroso. Mendekaraseso. Do not wait for a time to receive what you need. Receive, for it is done now, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Makoronde kerese. When the Lord begins to give you, you don't have to do it outlandishly loud, but when you begin to, even under your breath, when the Lord begins to speak to you right now, the word, the rhema word of victory over your, whether it's health, depression, fear, anxiety, poverty, sickness, any kind of demonic demise that might be coming against your life, I want you to just stand up and worship Him and begin to repeat those words over and over Him. Father, I thank you that in Jesus' name, Jesus has become to me victory over fear. Jesus has become to me victory over poverty. Jesus has become to me victory over every pitiful spirit. Vende le badoko no no mo tietieta fraso no breste di atala Their Lord says there's no more victims in Christ. You are not a victim. You are not a victim. There's no victims in Christ. Life has not cut you a bad slant. There is no victims in Christ. You begin to speak who you are in Jesus' name. We worship you, Jesus. We praise and magnify you. We glorify you. You are who you say you are. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Parambaroko rosso bradele benediaso. I glorify you, Jesus. I glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Release your glory now. Right now, then come up here and stand. Any pain? Oh, praise God. Praise God. Everybody, thank God everybody's healed here. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, one. Hallelujah. Today, now, I release the power of God. Receive it totally into your body. I need all of the people that are prayer warriors to be up here standing with me. Hallelujah. The elders of the house, I need you to come and stand. If you're taking care of whatever, that's okay. But hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. The very power of God. The New Age, people call it energy. It's far more than energy. It's a visible, invisible spirit going through there. Father, now, in the name of Jesus, I release and glorify your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive that life. Receive that life. Receive that life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Against hope, we believe in hope. Now, Father, our faith is challenged. Our faith is challenged because we haven't seen a lot of these yet. But we venture past. Lord, I see a corral. I see a fence. I see a pasture. Lord, I'm asking you to help us to break down those fences. I'm asking you to help us to demolish the strongholds in our own mind, in our faith. Lord, I pray that we'll have more than just a hope so, but I pray that we'll go past into a material place, a place of literalness from out of the spirit into the physical realm in the name of Jesus. And an exercise against the perimeters that have been in every one of our lives to see and to know and to know that He is able. I release the power of God to you, and I agree with your healing. I curse pain. Lord, we're not bashful to ask you and to believe that what Jesus did, you can't come again. You can't come again and heal her. You've healed her once at the cross. I invoke the principal part of that, putting into effect that which was done in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We exalt. Well, I got a little picture then, just prior to that. I saw somebody trying to hang on. Like, I love those little adages that people give. Oh, if you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on.
medicine that kept you from committing suicide, then thank God for the adage. But there's a place in Him that you don't have to hold on. You don't have to hold on to peace. Peace holds on to you. That's right, that's what He said. He said it was a perfect peace. Now, the Hebrew doesn't say perfect peace. It says shalom, shalom. It means a peace backed up by peace. Some people can't have peace very long because they're worried about when that peace is going to go away. They're like nervous about having peace. They call those people fearful of prosperity or success because as far as they're concerned, it doesn't last but a short season anyway. But listen, He's got something. Just feels like a big room, like where you felt like, I don't think I can escape this. If you feel like you're at the end of your rope, is that what He was trying to say? Just come up here. Who is that? It's probably more than one, but you feel like, man, I don't know how I'd get past today, hardly. We worship You, Jesus. If that's you, come on. Well, I'll tough this one out. Why would you? Why would you tough it out? Well, there's one honest person coming. Hallelujah. Stretch your faith this way. Glory. Do you know what we're contending for? That's why we do everything we can to fight to get past us, whatever we feel. When He... Listen. We come in here, we're asking Him for something where people come in and are free. They get totally free. We do everything we can. Sometimes it's quite a fight. Sometimes people go away and they don't even know there was a fight. If there is a fight, then I'd like to be far enough along that to know that there was one. But see, what we're asking for is not just where people can come in and leave like they came in. That they're stirred. That they're angry when they leave. Because they saw themselves needing a change. They saw themselves in a place where God was bigger than what they thought. Listen. Where we're asking God for is quite fantastic. It's really way beyond us. In fact, if He doesn't do it, there's no way to get there. We're asking for arms and legs to grow out because we believe that there's a great harvest. And all of that arms and legs, politely said stuff, is a calling card besides for His love for humanity. He loves humanity. And He did that. See, you've got to... If Howard was here this morning with his left arm off, he's got a left arm in the Spirit. Amen. I mean, literally. Ronald Coyne, Dave says that he's been there when he's done it. He says, I seen it. See, you've got to... physical body and a spiritual body. Excuse me. Toe to toe, fingernail to fingernail, eyeball to eyeball. You are what you are on the inside. The man who died and went into Abraham's bosom, he said, come and touch my parched tongue. I'm looking at my brothers. People say, do they see what's... No, he didn't see. He didn't say he was looking. He had a concern for his brothers. But it described his tongue, described his eyes. It described he was looking. This is it. I knew he was looking at something. He was looking over into Abraham's bosom. That's where he was looking. Well, there is no more Abraham's bosom. All those people left. But if I'm standing here today on one foot,
one leg in the natural, I know that my spiritual, I've got a spiritual leg. Now, Ronald Coyne, Dave says, God just did a miracle in reverse. It was just a sign and a wonder. He said, he sat there and he's watched him just double, in whatever you could imagine, double tape, duct tape, the eye that wasn't there, you know, the good eye. And then he had one of those eyes where it was a prosthetic eye. You just, and you could look in there. You could look in there if you wanted to. You'd take the patch off. You could look in there, just a socket. And he could read anything you put in front of him. Anything you put in front of him. Why? He wasn't doing it prophetically, like God showing my mind what. No, he could see. But what he was seeing was he was seeing through a spiritual eye. All God does when he does maimed being made whole is he grows some flesh on top of something spiritual. Now what we're getting to is this. Why do we fight for? Why do we contend for? It's not good enough for us. Because our Father has said this, receive for me an outpouring, would you? Receive for me an outpouring. Now, in Matthew 9, a woman just desperate, moved through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. And she was made whole. That's a wonderful story. It's true. But we talk a lot about that. We don't talk so much about that in 14, he travels across Lake Gennesaret. And when they found out that he was coming, the Bible says they went around the countryside and brought them in and laid them in the streets. And they besought him and said, if they can, would you just let them touch the hem of your garment? I don't know if they'd heard about the lady with the issue of the blood and their faith was inspired. But now he just walks down through and they touch him. They just touch the hem of his garment. Goes down this side of the street. People laying there. And the beautiful part about it, you read it, I think it's the end of 14. It says they were all made whole. They laid him in the streets. And he didn't pray for any of them. They just touched the hem of his garment. That's powerful. But by the time you get to Acts, when he leaves, there's a habitational anointing. There's an anointing where Jesus is at, but we're not contending for the one where Jesus is at. We're contending for a habitational anointing. We're contending for one where when they come in by the masses, now we find that it goes from where they're having to touch the hem of his garment to Peter. The Bible says they laid him in the streets and just the passing of the shadow of Peter. And there it says, and they were all made whole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bring your sick. Bring your lame. Bring your. That's what we're contending for. We're believing God for something far greater. I believe we receive in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. Father, we love you. We thank you so much. I bless them in Jesus' name. Father, I am so thankful for my brothers and sisters on my right and on my left. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray this prayer that you'll open our eyes. I pray that what we see, that we'll see beyond our eyes. Father, I pray that the scales will fall off our eyes Everything that the world has placed there, everything that the prince of this world has placed, or our flesh, that we cannot see each other. Lord, you said in your word that your body is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Lord, that I may see Christ in my brothers. Not that they would come to Christ, but that I will see immediately, present tense, who they are. Jesus, I pray that the force field that is around me, my barriers, my guards, my fleshly senses that I have placed up, that I cannot see them, I pray those things will come down in the name of Jesus. All discernment comes from You. All liberty comes from You. Father, I pray that You will unify us like we've never been unified before. Not in pretense, but in spirit, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that self, myself, ourselves, will come down and that Jesus will be glorified like never before. I release Your glory. I release Your grace. Your life in us. We exalt You, Jesus. We exalt You, Jesus. We exalt You, Jesus. We exalt You, Jesus. Come on, can I get some help? Hallelujah. You guys don't have to be quiet. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. In fact, this is not a church. This is a training center. This is a training center. I cannot wait. Listen, most of these lines I can handle numerically, but I'm asking you to be quick and ready and Johnny on the spot. I'm asking you couples and you singles and you people that have been coming here a while, you're being trained to cast out devils. Wait a minute. I heard some of you think casting out devils, foam at the mouth. What is it that thing that you, what is it that you think, you think that's a physical thing that's hanging on your brother, your elder in Christ? Oh, now you're getting spooky. No. What is it that affects the thought processes prior to church? It's not mood swings. It's something that comes. What is it that hangs on somebody's life? It's a trial. Okay, let's make it a trial. Let's say a trial so we won't say that ding-dong devil stuff. What if I had something that's hanging on my life, a physical infirmity, and I can't get it off? But you're walking in authority. Would you step up to the line, Pastor? Absolutely. If you don't want to shock me by saying, devil, I rebuke you, then pray a whimsical prayer and say, in Jesus' name, may he come to an understanding of his life and how free that he is. That in the process of time that he will be able to dismiss himself from this oppression that has come against his mind, whereby which he is engaged in a place that keeps him continually in a process of questioning over and over again his liberty, which he has hither for or whatever to or whatever, or blah, 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 blah. Just say, devil, in Jesus' name. It may not be in there per se, but if it's hanging on to their life, it needs to come off. It needs to come out. And I'm looking forward to the day where all of you that are knowing who you are, like all of us who are on a journey, you're able to stand here and say, look, I want to release you. I want to release you in couples. I want to release you as single people, as individuals, to stand in grace lines and be able to cast out devils, sicknesses, okay? Dismiss sicknesses. Whatever enemy, he may not be actually located in the body, but then again, he may. But when you speak to that thing, that it comes out and it comes off and it leaves in Jesus' name. Now, the better part is if you're mature enough in Christ, you can get that thing off yourself. That's the better part. You don't have to come to church to do it. But you can't hope for it. You can't hope for it. You got to do it. You got to keep doing it. That lady that was so upset with God because her husband died believing. He died believing. Well, I'd rather die believing than not believing. Say he's in heaven. But old Norval said, okay, honey, let me help you get over your offense. Because I don't know if you know this, but one of the major inroads to God is your mouth. In fact, Gary Carpenter taught that message on, he said, the Holy Spirit won't do anything. He didn't even create for God the Father until God said, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be. So you better get a revelation of speaking to your mountains. Well, I got a revelation of praying in tongues, and I got a revelation of worship, and I got a revelation of not eating sometimes. Let me give you another one, a trinket to put on your belt. Speak it. She was upset. Okay, I know you're mad at God, sister, because he died. Yes, and I can't understand. He died. Okay, can I ask you? This is what he said. I heard him say it. He said, can I ask you a few questions? Yes. When did you ever, not church, because just church alone. See, if you got a serious, something serious, every once in a while I ain't going to do it. Because the program is stronger than the ever once in a while. So you got to get exaggerative. In other words, you got to get, and you don't have to do that the rest of your life, but for a parenthesis of your life, you got to get what they call drastic or X. That means extreme. You got to get extreme for a while to where people think you're an idiot. In other words, if there's something that's destroying you, there's a promise in that word. And the promise in that word is greater than even a grace line. Why? Because you might not be able to get to a grace line, but you can always get to this word. So he asked her, honey, when did you ever just walk in early morning, catch him, or just walking around the house? When did you just catch him inadvertently, like not at church or not when somebody, when he should have said it, just sitting there hour after hour, time after time, I call my body whole. I say I'm whole in Jesus' name. Your word says you bore in your body, mine. When did you just catch him? I mean, he didn't know you was walking in, and he was up at maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning saying, I call myself whole in Jesus' name. She said, never. I didn't really catch him doing that. He said, honey, let me tell you something. This word, God cannot fail. And see, that sounds like works. And the fact of the matter is, you don't have to, really, you don't have to do any of that. Honestly, now I'm going to give you, now everybody's going to think I'm going to give you a hall pass. But I believe Jesus, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to back up and explain why what I'm saying is not right. You really don't ever even have to fast. Praise God. But you said, Pastor, Jesus said you'd need to after. No, but I know. But if you can do the works that he did, then you don't have to. But if you can't, then you have to. Oh, then you answered it right there. That's the same thing with this. You don't have to. And that is kind of exaggerative, sit hour after hour claiming the word. But if it's still there, you have to. Well, so-and-so don't have to. I know, but if they're not sick, but if they get sick, they'll have to. Unless in one moment's time they can say, now see, here's what grace is. Grace is, if you can bypass it, it's all done at the cross. Eat the cheeseburger, go home, and say, hallelujah, I am healed. But if you wake up in the night, and you're still sick, and you're still sick next week, and the week, and the week, and the week, and the week, then grace needs to take you to something that'll change something. Hallelujah. Which means I say, LaRue got mad at Gary Carpenter because it took LaRue like 6 months or something like that to confess so many hours a day out of poverty. And he found out Gary did it in so many months, or like half the time or something like that. He said, man, that's friendly competition. But nevertheless, it's true. You go out of here and your day is, your week, you have dominion over it. You have dominion over it. And I want to see all of you standing up here with me, and I have not arrived. In fact, sometimes I count myself as the least. But all of you who know Him have the authority to cast out devils and to heal the sick and to see these things change. Hallelujah. We glorify You, Jesus. Praise God. I wish sometimes we just had normal church. I could come in here and just... Barbara's looking at me cross-eyed like, no, we're not going to start that, Pastor. It puts me out on a limb that I'll listen. We're conversing. I have all of you praying. You know when you come in here from service to service. Matt's back there listening. He's not hard to find. It's just that we're up against some place we've never been before. And until we get there, we're in a learning process. And every one of you have been called to a ministry. I really wanted to go to three places this morning. I wanted to go to Ephesians. I wanted to go to 1 Corinthians 12 and then go back to Romans 12 because those are all dovetail. They all come together and they talk about everything that you have as an individual have been called to do. And if you're called into helps or governments, I looked up the word helps again this morning. It's the same ministry over in Romans chapter 12 that the person who gives, they give it with simplicity. The word helps in 1 Corinthians 12 is somebody, really, if just boiled it down to, somebody that rendered or gave. They had the capacity to give. Hallelujah. Do you know He wants you blessed? Do you know He wants you extremely blessed? And at the same time, He wants you going into a place where you're dying. You're mortifying. You're getting more. Now, we're going to let you go in just a few minutes because we didn't even have a break that you could hug each other. But there's a mortification that takes place because, listen, if there's any... I'm going into the fantastic. I'll just use that word. It's really weird when you start talking to people about, and I don't talk to anybody else but you guys about growing people's legs out where there is no legs. And I'm using the extreme. That's the extreme of what we're after. But how about people coming in here where there's a habitation and week after week they just melt? They're going to get a divorce before they came in. And somehow they just feel like they could fall in love again. How about people that are way out there that have left us, that are trying to go to hell? They're doing everything they can to get there. If we don't contend, some of them will make it. But we're going to contend. And they're going in with us. Hallelujah. He is coming back. Folks, listen. There's an age past this one. What about what comes up next? What comes up next? Well, it's a ways off. Listen, it's not a ways off. It's here. And the world is not going to be... Listen, I hope if you're thinking, I love these guys. These are my grandkids. If they don't grow up here with me, they'll grow up... They'll be with me in heaven. I'll always be with them. If there's one in the tummy somewhere, that one's going with them. Hallelujah. If it's an embryo that big, hope mama's saved because it's leaving or it's going to be changed. What an age to come. Glorified bodies. Isn't that going to be, you talk about strange. You talk about X-Men. We're going to be living among the billions of mortals that decided not to make that decision. We're going to be here with them in glorified bodies. You know what that means? We're no longer on their level. We move, we live, we have our being in Christ. They're still human. We walk through walls, they can't. Oh, come on, follow me. And then, boom. See, definitely we rule over them because they can't kill us, because we have bodies that can't be killed. But that's not why we rule, because the Prince of Peace will be here, and there will be a governing authority. For 1,000 years, he's cast. He gets to come out for a little while. Will there be people that will be able to turn their life over during that 1,000 years to Christ? Absolutely, because he gets a chance to come after those ones. Not by God's design, but something that we can't go into presently. But we're looking forward to all that. And we want to receive it. Now listen, I get the chance to believe along with you that the fantastic is going to take place, as in the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and we go into God. You may be called to help serve governments. It's going to take you dying at the same level of death and mortification, whatever he's asking you to do, that it takes me to go as whatever I am, a pastor, whatever any of those other parts of the fivefold that I may be. It's going to take ultimately all that I can give it, but it's fun. It's really fun. And he wants you to live life while you're going there. But if you're called to give millions of dollars to God, do you realize that there's a fight against that just as strong as there is in growing somebody's arm or leg out or the blind seeing? Now, I got to be careful here because I don't know everything, and I'm going to give a clause here to say there probably is a lot of stuff that I don't know. But I have yet, just like I can't get you on a flight somewhere and book you in and we can sit down and watch those masses be healed like we're contending for, I have yet to see on the earth an operation, and I know there must be, where there's somebody that has totally, who has, now I'm not talking about some of you, you've got the heart for it, you just don't yet have the breakthrough in the finances for it. But I'd rather have what you got. But I haven't seen, now I've been around a lot of big ministries, and I've heard them talk about, that's going to happen, that's going to happen, that guy's, he's fixing to write the check. This part I got to watch, because I don't want to be cynical, because it can break any day, just like revival can. I know that there's a lot that happens that I don't know. Myself, personally, I haven't seen any of those multi-million dollar checks written. Why? Because two things either happened. Either the guy really intended on it, and he was fought with all of hell, and something happened, or else the death process, believe me, that part in you that has to die, it has to die. If you're called to the ministry of helps on that level, it has to die to the same level that a pastor or prophet or apostle has to die to go to seeing the blind see, the lame walk, and the deaf hear. Now, there are a lot of you in this room that are dying on that level. You're going to that place. God is asking you questions. What about this? What about that? When he said the love of money is the root of all evil, he meant that. Listen, a lot of times I'll start imagining things, like I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that, and then I realize, wait a minute, pull it in, reel it in, reel it in, reel it in. Holy Spirit, thank you for your imagination, the things that you give me, but I'm just talking real intimate now. I'm not sure, unless you provide the mortification, how dead I am. So I'll just back out of that, out of good conscience. Because it's like this. Dave said years ago, they used to say, back when he said that when we went through another recession, he said the Christian millionaires would come up to him, and they were going through it too. And they were, he said a few of them come up to him, you know, the big guys that had multi-million dollars who were working, and they could give on a bigger level. I'm not talking about, but I want us to understand. He said they'd come up and they would shake his hand like this, and they'd say, Brother Roberson, if you'll agree with me that God will bring me out of this and bless our factory. A lot of them were lumber mill people, and they had, you know, hundreds of people working. And he said, when those millions come in, we're gonna write you like a 40% check on those millions. He said on the first few, man, I mean, karate fast. Boom. Yes, sir. I'll agree with you. He said one of them finally came to him and said, would you agree with me on? And he started to put his hand in there, and the Lord said, don't agree with him. In fact, tell him, no, you won't. And he thought, oh, God. He said, the Lord said, tell him he's not going to do it. See, the imagination says, when I start making it, and it gets there, I'm going to give lots and lots and lots. And he was listening. He was like, oh, God, oh, Lord. You're not supposed to tell these rich guys that walk around in these Armani suits and to carry that weight of authority. You're not supposed to tell them you're not going to do that. And then he got the whole prophecy. He said, no, sir, you won't. He said, why? He says, if you're not able, if your flesh won't let you give now on what you have, when you start making it, it sure enough won't let you give then. See, I try not to toy too much with what I'm willing to do, but one thing I do know is my willingness today reflects what I'd be willing to do with a bunch. And you don't know the death that it takes for men and women to go through. They have to die the same process that it takes to die to go to miracles. You have to die day after day after day. But guess what? I believe a lot of you are going to make it. Hallelujah. When you realize the seriousness of it, that God wants to entrust to you lots of money so you can fuel something, but you have to realize, don't think, well, I'm going to just, boy, when it gets there, I don't want to be that conscience. In fact, I want to tell you this. I want to bless you and say, many of you are on your way. Don't get under condemnation, but trust in grace. Know this. Don't make any boast of yourself. Why? Because Gary Carpenter was recently teaching on it. And he was talking about how dead. In fact, Dave walked by a guy in the congregation, and you know who it is, and it wasn't Gary, but he saw a tombstone. And he didn't know what it was to start with. And it wasn't like, oh, God, this guy's... And God said, there's a tombstone over that man's life, because that man has truly went all the way to death concerning money. And Gary said, God, I want a tombstone over my life. Over my who I am, I want to be totally dead. Whatever you say, we have a confession around here on Friday nights. I don't know how far I really mean it yet, but I want to mean it. God, if you need anything, come to my house first. I want to mean that. Is there a part of you that's still in transition to that? Probably so. But I want to die to the point wherever. So Gary was teaching on something, and he saw a vision, and he was like, what is that? Because he was teaching on the death and finances and stuff. And he may have said it when he was here, because he saw it prior to coming here. He saw a person. What he saw was, because he's an engineer, he said, he saw a campfire, you know, a reasonable size like you'd build in your backyard, a big, you know, pretty good size, maybe a 5-foot diameter or something. He saw a big, like a fire like that. And then he saw just a little tiny flicker, just a tiny flicker of a flame. And then he saw, he didn't really see who did it, but he just saw a gallon or you know, a big pail. I think he said it was a gallon or something like that. It might have been 5 gallons. I can't remember. He saw a pail of gasoline dumped on the fire. And then he saw a gasoline dump. And he says, as an engineer, I know this. That fire is going to burn until every molecule, that vapor, it's a vapor, whatever, every molecule of it, it's going to continue to, until, I mean, unless it's extinguished somehow. We're not talking about Mr. Fireman here. But that is going to burn until every molecule of that vapor is exasperated. But what he saw in the Spirit was, it did not matter if it was a 5-gallon bucket. What fueled it or what engulfed it was, the effect that the gasoline had on the big fire was the same effect that it had when it touched just a flicker. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, look, what embroiders or what brings forth if a man's not ready? If they've not died, the consumption of self is this. Death, thank God that we die in increments, but we always must trust the grace of God. Always trusting the grace of God. Because even a person that is all the way over here where they think, I'm just so dead to finances, whatever he tells me to do, I'd be willing to do it. Okay. Can he now at this point pour the millions into your life? Can that gasoline poured on your... Is there any flicker? Is there any smoldering? Because if there is, if there's any flesh at all, flesh likes to be patted and blessed, and it loves. Now, the devil can take this and twist it and go someplace in your mind it's not supposed to. God wants you blessed. He doesn't want you Mr. and Mrs. Poverty and looking bad and not enjoying life. But the flesh, whether it's almost dead or fully dead or not any hardly dead, if it's got something to fuel it, it will flame up. Dave said the lady that her husband was the multimillionaire, and she just hung on to the church because he treated her real bad. And she was right up here. And when her husband died, the church was glad. Not really glad that he died, but they said, my God, new carpet, new pews. But the only thing was, instead of seeing her 3 or 4 times a week, my sugar daddy's gone. You know what? I want a few toys. And I believe they'll be sanctified. That's good. The only thing about toys is when you have them, you got to play with them. And if you don't play, and I'm not talking about every once in a while in a sanctified way. But listen, the whole thing is this. He's got a death process for you. And it's easy under His grace. It's easy under His grace. And He wants to take every single one of you, like you say, I'm not called to miracles. Well, what are you called to? I'm called to intercession. You're going to have to die. If you're going to be an intercessor that brings forth revival, you're going to have to die to the place. All of us have got to wind up at the same line. I want to make a lot of money. Good. Then He's going to change the motivations of your heart. It's not going to be about, well, what, like I said, Amber used to say, well, what then? Well, what are you going to do? Well, I want to make a lot of money for my kids. Okay, what's going to happen then? Well, then I'm going to just get older and enjoy it. Okay, but what happens? Well, I'm going to die and go to heaven. Is that it? Is that it? Isn't there something a lot bigger than that? What about the age to come? What about the millennial? Because you're going to be ruling and reigning with Him based on what you did right now, not later. And we get this opportunity. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you stand up and hug somebody before we go out of here today? Hallelujah. Amen.